Hey there, guys. I wanted to drop in real quick to talk to you about a brand new offer that I've put together just for you. It truly is going to revolutionize the way that you do business. I am offering a 90-minute strategy session that's also going to give you a visual roadmap that will guide you over the next 6 months to be able to accomplish any author goal you want to make happen. So here's the thing. We all need some one-on-one guidance sometimes. And the whole idea behind this is to give you the one-on-one personalized experience that you're really craving and get you on the road to your greatest success, right? That's all we really want for you. So if you're curious about how this is going to work, head over to authorrevolution.org/visual map and learn more about it today. Welcome to the Author Revolution podcast, where change is not just embraced, it's celebrated. I'm Carissa Andrews, international best-selling author, indie author coach, and your navigator through the ever-evolving landscape of authorship. Are you ready to harness the power of your mind and the latest innovations in technology for your writing journey? If you're passionate about manifesting your dreams and pioneering new writing frontiers, then you're in the perfect place. Here, we merge the mystical woo of writing with the exciting advancements of the modern world. We dive into the realms of mindset, manifestation, and the transformative magic that occurs when you believe in the impossible. We also venture into the world of futuristic technologies and strategies, preparing you for the next chapter in your author career. Every week, we explore new ways to revolutionize your writing and publishing experience. From AI to breakthrough thinking, this podcast is your gateway to a world where creativity meets innovation. Whether you're penning your first novel, or expanding your literary empire, whether you're a devotee of the pen or a digital storyteller, this podcast is where your author revolution gains momentum. So join me in this journey to continue growth and transformation. It's time to redefine what it means to be an author in today's dynamic world. This is the Author Revolution Podcast, and your author revolution starts now. Well, hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Author Revolution podcast. Today I have a really special guest coming on the show, and we're going to have a discussion that I think is long overdue, one that is all about burnout for authors. Since the dawn of 20 books to 50K and the concept of rapid releasing really came about, you know, many of us were struggling with the idea of how quickly should we publish in order to get ahead. And like, when things aren't working, do I push harder? And it really ultimately led to a lot of people going into burnout, especially when we saw success stories from people who were, you know, publishing a book a month and really just raking in the money from it. And ultimately, I think when it comes to creative individuals, and in particular, high achieving or, you know, very intelligent creative individuals, when we don't reach a goal in a determined amount of time and we think that, you know, we're failing or we're doing something incorrectly, we push harder. We don't like necessarily back off. And of course, if you're not careful, if you're not taking steps to ensure that your mental health, that your body is, you know, getting rejuvenated in a way that is feeling good to you, you can end up in overwhelmment and burnout. And what ends up happening is you lose your love of writing. You lose your love for doing all the things that really brought you joy at one point because they're no longer fun, right? They're no longer the things that elevated you because they've been in some way, shape, or form a disappointment. And so my guest today, Dr. Nicole Jantz, is on. We're talking about burnout and we're talking about her introduction to burnout, what led her through burnout and to now become an author coach who specializes in burnout. And so I'm very excited to dive into this conversation. I think you're going to enjoy what we have to say. And there are some great tips and tools that she utilizes in this conversation. So if you've ever found yourself struggling with burnout, feeling like you're in this place of frustration or impatience, overwhelmment, disappointment, or even worry about your author career, you're in the right place. This episode is for you. So without further ado, let's get to it. Well, hi, Nicole. Welcome to the Author Revolution podcast. I am really stoked about our conversation today because I think it's going to be one that's very important and that authors need to perk their ears about. But before we get into all of that, can you tell my audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm Nicole Jans. I'm a writer's coach and the author of The Write Habit Planner, a workbook and productivity planner for writers. And in my coaching, sort of if you're an author or an entrepreneur or an academic and you are struggling to get your book done or your articles done and you're probably burning out on the way and getting really overwhelmed, then I'm the person coming in helping you create a new vision, create a strategy, and making sure that you take smaller steps so that you can actually get it done. Because, and I mean, you know that, but the listeners don't know that I am also a survivor of burnout. And it's really important to me that people can do their writing and enjoy it rather than feeling the pressure and the stress all the time.
Absolutely. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your experiences through burnout and what brought you to this place of obviously helping others to get over their burnout as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I used to be an academic, working at a university, teaching, doing admin, doing my own research writing. And as we know in academia, but also, in any field where you are sort of publishing, there is a huge pressure to get your stuff out there, to be productive all the time, to have new ideas all the time. And about 4 years ago, that career, which was amazing, had a tenured position. So this is the golden ticket.
Right.
I did. Yeah, so right, I was super happy. Wow, I was commuting at the time and I thought I'll commute anywhere for like a permanent lectureship.
Right.
I didn't quite realize what it would do to me. So, what happened was I was commuting 3 days a week. I had two young kids. I was trying to constantly catch up with my publications, especially after maternity leave. You feel double pushed to show that you can do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then is that right? So, and burnout crept in, and I didn't even notice it, but I noticed what I was feeling at the beginning. I felt irritable. I was fighting with my kid's dad. I was irritable with the kids, which I feel really ashamed and guilty for. And just the sheer thought of going to work gave me heart palpitations. And there were some more steps, right? I ended up with, I couldn't even read emails anymore without getting triggered and stressed. I had massive panic attacks. Until, my body basically said no more. Like it gave me panic attacks. I couldn't leave the house, couldn't go on public transport. And my mind was still in overdrive mode. I was still thinking, oh, I need to work harder. I can figure this out. I need to fix this, right? And my body, no. Panic attack, you can't leave the house. I'm going to keep you safe at home. You stop everything you're doing. And it was awful. It was really, really bad. But also, this made me pause. And just look at what is going on here. And so eventually this led me to, taking a long time off work, leaving this job in the end, because it was just not feasible to do that commute anymore and that stress, and then starting my own business. Yeah, so that's sort of the really rushed through version of it. But yeah, I came out the other end happy and fulfilled and empowered, but it was a tough one, I will say.
I understand that. I mean, it sounds to me so similar to what we as indie authors kind of do. It definitely resonates with my story as well, where it was like, you think you're, it's like, I can figure this out. You're probably a high achiever. You're probably someone who typically gets your way pretty quickly. And then it's like, why is this not working? Like, all the things. And you're trying to just push and push and push until you're, like you said, your body just goes, do you need to keep going though? Like, It's amazing too that you took a look at that and were able to see it for what it was and then turned it into something even more powerful for yourself. That's really awesome. And I think so many people need it. We need to hear it and we need to understand that this is a part of our creative process and to learn when to recognize the signs. So speaking of that, in your experience with authors and other creatives, academics, what have you found to be the most common cause, and like, how do they identify those early stages before it gets to be like panic attacks and city here?
Yeah. So I will say that most of the authors that come to me have either had burnout early in their life and they've just gotten back on track and come to me to finish their book, or they are so burnt out and overwhelmed that they see no other way to finish that thing, which they feel pushed to do. And then they come to me. So I've sort of noticed, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm a book coach. It's great. But really, I'm sort of like a writer's coach with a burnout specialty. I think people just know that I had that experience. And what I see a lot, the first thing that I see when I talk to someone, I'm sure you've seen that so much as well, even just on Zoom, the body language. If someone comes on and they just feel so constricted, you can see their, shoulders are stiff. They probably have a headache. They keep rolling their neck and just have that face of, oh man, I wish this meeting was already over. So there are a lot of body symptoms. I'm an empath, so I can sort of even feel it through the, video, how painful it is. Something is really thoroughly stuck. Like there's very much stuck and constricted energy in the body. And, they tell me all kinds of things where they try to sort of, what I just said about myself, the same story, right? They feel like there must be a solution to figuring out this book, to being able to find time for writing, but they are so tired. Like they make time to write in the schedule, and then when the time comes, they are either too tired, or sometimes even the brain is going on overdrive. Like, have you ever had that when you can't? Yes, you're just sitting there. It's like a mix between like super buzz and brain fog, and you can't write. You just sit there. There's a blank screen in front of you. You're just super blocked. And all these things could be a sign of burnout. I don't always have to be, but perhaps the biggest one is when I ask them, okay, so what do you do to create space, to take a break, to sort of take care of yourself? And they don't have an answer. They are like, oh, yes, I should do a self-care regime. And it sounds very strict and harsh. And how are you having space? And they're like, they don't. And it was the same for me. Like, I don't know what does peace of mind feel anymore? What does space feel like? I can't, what is that? It's clear signs that something isn't quite going well, and it might turn into burnout. It might not, right? You could catch that early, or you keep going on autopilot and, go right into, I don't want to call it the hole, because they're, essentially, it sort of is. It's really awful, right? Yeah.
Where it like kind of just sucks the life out of you and you're not feeling good. I definitely, for me, the early warning signs are when I'm like getting all of the emails that I get and I don't even want to answer them. Like it's not so much the reading part, but if I get to the point where I have them and I know I have to answer them and I don't want to do it, or I don't like there's something there, I'm like, oh, I need to take a step back. I need to like you just said, create some space and a little bit more allowing. No one's going to die if I don't answer the email right now. I'm very much a like I like to handle things pretty quickly. But when I notice myself doing that, that's when I'm like, time to take a step back, time to bring a little more space in, and I can handle a lot of things, but that's definitely a warning sign for me, for
You
sure.
know what? That's so true. And it's the same for me. Like when I was in burnout, I could not open my email without getting basically stress symptoms and sweat. And then if I saw an email from my line manager at the time, I could not open it. I moved it into the archive. And any other emails, even everything felt like there is another demand on me. There's another request on me. I need to react to this. And I could not cope. So what you're saying is absolutely right. And when I see the emails piling up, and I feel like I don't want to even open my inbox anymore, then that is a clear sign that, something isn't quite going the way it should and the way you're coping with life.
Because it should be just like a very simple thing that can take a couple of seconds. It's not a big deal, but that's, when you have all those other demands and then you're trying to put all the demands of publishing or creating or earning money from your books, like all the different ways that we put ourselves into burnout places. And like you said, like family then get on top of it and it's like everything's on your shoulders. When you start feeling that kind of why do I have no support? Then it's definitely a time to take a step back and wonder why is this? Why am I feeling this way? Oh my goodness. Okay, so you talk about the transformative power of writing, not just for the audience to read it, but also for themselves. Could you share a little bit about how confronting and overcoming burnout can be a part of that transformation?
Yeah. So burnout, since it sort of stops you in your tracks and is so awful for the mind and the body, it's sort of like the dark night of the soul, or sort of like the crisis moment, right? We're storytellers, we sort of love that, but just don't want to be in it. But for me, I found that overcoming burnout required me to pause, which I wasn't good at. It required me to make a shift in my mindset. Because I was thinking, the system is wrong, and everyone is wanting too much of me. And I felt like it was everyone else's fault on top of, you know, blaming myself for not making it and coping. So it required a real shift in my mindset. It required a shift in my routines, how I treat my body. And there were a lot of limiting beliefs I had too, right? I can't stop working. I need to make money. I'm worth nothing if I don't publish this. My work is probably not going to be good enough. So I had to learn to sort of like all this shit that creatives deal with all the time. I had to be present with it and be aware and deal with it. I had to deal with the inner critic. I had to deal with the lack of self-compassion, you know, and this is where the transformation came in. I couldn't avoid it anymore. Procrastination is really avoidance of that pain. I had to turn towards it, or I would just be paralyzed for the rest of my life. And so that's what burnout did. It pushed me. That's where I'm thankful in a way. It pushed me to look at all the mindset problems, the body problems, the limiting beliefs, all of that. I had to face it.
Sure. Is that where the journal construction came in, where you decided to create that journal, or did that come afterwards?
Oh, that came much later. I think when I was still in that point, at that point, I needed to find something to latch onto because all the things that I tried meditation, I tried yoga, they were all good for me, but it wasn't getting me out of it. So the things I latched onto at the point was doing The Artist's Way by Julia
Oh,
Cameron,
yes.
12-week program. It just, this also makes you face all these things. And that had a big journaling component, right? What are you saying yes to all the time that you don't want to do? Where are you not respecting your boundaries? Where are you, you know, not recovering? Where are you believing the inner critic? Where are you being perfectionist? So this book basically saved me. I did it two times around, right? So 12-week program, I did it twice in a row with other people. That was the first thing where I realized how much I'm changing just by journaling. And the second thing was, I was really, really stuck at the time, and I called my mom. She's a very deadpan German, like super pragmatic. And I said, "Mom, what should I do?" I expected some sort of wise words, and she just said, "Find yourself a project, something small."
Oh,
And so
sure.
initially, I thought, "Well, Mom, I'm burnt out. Like, what do you want from me?" But,
Right? You're gonna
yeah,
add one more thing?
no, I
Watch.
understand this burnout thing. But what I did was I went and signed up for a creative writing course. It was an online course on, you know, writing a short story at the University of Cambridge. And I just allowed myself to step into that world. It had nothing to do with academic writing. It had nothing to do with making money. It was just writing some stories and reclaiming my joy in writing. And that together with doing The Artist's Way, it's all writing, right? So I basically took writing and creativity, made some space for it, just a tiny bit. And that gave me hope. That sort of song got me into thinking, well, maybe there's another future for me than just being this stressed out academic. And that got the ball rolling to start transforming myself.
Wonderful. Do you want to talk a little bit about the journal that you've created?
Yeah, it's called the Right Habit Planner. And it's essentially a goal setting workbook, a weekly planner for writers. And it's trying to integrate all the things that I've learned, you know, myself painfully, but also with all my clients. Because there are a lot of things that we tend to do wrong, especially when it comes to burnout. For example, the journal starts with your future self vision. So rather than what are all the writing projects on your plate? How can you get them all done? It starts with, okay, take a step back, take a breath, and journal about who you would be in 2 years and 3 years and 10 years. Who do you want to be? What would be your dream life? How would you show up in the world? And then from that, go back and find one, two, or three smaller projects that can get you there and drop the rest, which is hard. There are lots and tools how to drop stuff. And then it sort of takes you into, well, if you have those projects, how can you plan them in tiny steps that are easy? How can you actually schedule the time to do it? And if you see the weekly schedule spread in the planner, immediately you will have to, everything that you want to do in that week, you have to slot it in. So if that looks messy and too full and written in the margins, I do that still. I immediately know that I'm putting on too much, right? And so that takes you into, you know, tracking your progress. What do you do when you have writer's block? So there are a lot of tools in there that everything basically I do with my coaching clients, I wanted to turn into this journal and workbook so that, you know, not everyone wants a coach or needs a coach, but that people can live this writing life through writing in that journal and workbook and just
so
like
cool.
gradually make it easier for themselves.
I love that too. And it gives them that opportunity to make a small step towards the right direction, like a small decision that helps them to move out of burnout and trust that they can handle these smaller steps towards a new future. I love that you have the your future self part. Every time I hear someone say your future self, it just makes me smile because we have a program in Author Revolution where it's for meditation and hypnosis, but we talk about it's called your future self. And we're always, you know, future thinking about what we're trying to create. And when we do that, sometimes we have to let go of the, like you said, those things that aren't working for us and embrace something new. And sometimes that's kind of scary because, you know, you're afraid of, well, if I let this thing go, who am I then? Or, you know, can I make this money up? Or can I, any of the things? But on the other side, if you're feeling like excited about it, a little bit of excited, usually on the other side, when it's the right direction, you have that. And so it's like, you can trust it and take those bigger leaps. You only have one life, right? So like, why are you living a life that you're not enjoying? I love that. And I love the planner, the way that you journal things out. I think it's just amazing. It's a wonderful tool. So could you offer a little bit of practical advice for authors who are currently feeling overwhelmed by the pressures of publishing? Because obviously there's lots of deadlines, lots of things that are going on. Like, do you have any specific strategies that have worked really well for your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing is to do less. And so I know everyone would be like, no, I have all my projects. They are all important.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do with my clients, and there's a page in the planner as well, where it's called the goal filter. We go through each and every of their goals or projects on their plate and think about, is this going to help you become your future self? Is it really, really going to help you, right? Can you do it with the time and resources that you have? If you didn't do this project, what would it free up time for? Maybe there's another
I
thing
love
you'd
that.
Want to do. So it's the planner, and this is what I do in my coaching, it's the same thing. We set priorities and we practice saying no. And in the planner, there's a section. Every week, there's a little box that says, what am I taking off my plate this week? So this is number
that.
one. It's hard. It's really hard to say no if you're like a, you know, expert people pleaser. If you get excited about creativity, you want to take on so many shiny things, saying no can be practiced, and it has to be practiced every week. So this is my first thing, right? I also needed to shove things off my plate, including my professor job. That was obviously a big thing. It's not like, you know, saying no to writing a paper. That was the biggest thing I've done at that point. But the future self and the whole idea of what gets me there, how can I say no and set my new boundaries, that was important for that. And the second thing is building a recovery protocol. It sounds a bit harsh, right? Recovery protocol, maybe you can call it your self-care routine, but building it into your daily life. And what I do with my clients is making a list of things that relax your body and your mind. And it could be sleep, a hot bath, breath work, meditations, hypnosis. I do lots of that. Nature immersion, very light exercise, maybe just learning to be present, just sitting for 5 minutes. Just the hardest for me, just doing nothing.
Yeah, right.
Nidra, right? So making a list of things that are really wholesome for you. Everyone has something slightly different. And then planning it into your week. Because it's very easy to say, oh, I should do more self-care. I say it every week. But do I really take my recovery time? So this is why in the planner, there's a section where you need to tick off the box. Did you plan what you're doing in your breaks? You know, and I have just this week is a busy week for me. So I have meditate at a specific time and it's in there. And I already know which meditation I'm going to be, you know, listening to.
Love
and
that.
so I need constant reminding of that. I need reminding of saying no. I need reminding of scheduling in my recovery. And it's hard to do it, but those are super, essentially, those are simple steps. They are not big. You don't need to quit your job and, you know, do all these things, just like teeny tiny things each week to try out.
I love that though. And the reminder aspect, I think for a lot of us serial people pleasers, like having that repetition is so important because it helps us to reframe, rewire, and keep strengthening those neural pathways to change it and evolve into something different that we want, you know, what we want to become. Because so often, like, you'll read a book and it's so enlightening or so powerful, or you'll journal and use a wonderful planner. And then as soon as it's done, you revert back to your old ways because you haven't incorporated it enough. You haven't gone through it enough. You haven't cycled through it enough. And some of us can learn things right away and pick it up. And that was like that boom, aha moment. And others need a little bit more time to work through it and to kind of go through that process. So is the planner something that you recommend them doing once, or do they buy it every year, or like, how does that work?
So the planner, it's an annual planner. It has space for 52 weeks and it's undated and full of prompts. And the reason is that, well, actually the planner was meant to be a book. I started it as a book called The Right Habit, with giving all these tips that I just gave you, like the writing out all the things the authors should do. And then halfway through, it felt really wrong because I noticed I wasn't doing the things myself because I didn't have these daily prompts, like a visual sort of like something that made me do it. So I dumped the whole, that book idea and said, I'm going to make a planner where all they have to do is open it. If you just have to keep it on your desk, that's all you have to do. You open it. And then you try it out for a week, and 1 week will be really shitty, and the next week will be a bit easier, and you just keep going, keep going. And since it's undated, if you skip 2 weeks and you go back into your old patterns, you can always return. Like the Right Habit Planner is always, like me as a coach, it's the same thing. You can always return to yourself. You can return to the planner. There's always a new chance. Nothing is lost just because you lost that habit of taking breaks for a week. You know, you have 52 weeks. And if you slack a little bit and you miss 1 week, even better, you know, it's undated. There are more weeks there. So it's almost like it's not going out. You just, it's always, it's your companion. That's what it's meant to be.
That's great. Well, and it sounds like you still have potential then to have a book that can go along with it. Like if you have the material, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, what a great complimentary companion for the both of them, you know? So awesome. Yeah. And I love the title. That's great. I have a book out there called Right Frame of Mind. So I with the same kind of WRITE, and I'm working on a new book myself, and it's called Write Your Reality. So, but WRITE. And it's just, I love, it seems like we're so in sync with like the concepts and what we're trying to do. It's wonderful. It just keeps making me smile. Okay. So for authors, speaking of smiling, who have lost their joy in their writing, do you have any steps that they can take to rekindle that other than what we've already discussed?
One thing would be, it sounds a bit counterintuitive, but get away from the desk. The harder you force yourself to sit there and write, and for some people, even journaling might be a little bit too much. I mean, I love journaling, but some people need to just get their bum off the seat and go away, go into nature, do something else, and then return with a fresh mind to have some new input, right? That would be one thing. And it gave me immense joy to do some weird, you know, weightlifting. And you know, I'm really not, I find weird that I'm saying this. I'm not athletic at all, but I did some weird stuff, right?
Yeah.
So just getting away from the desk, and just, you can be a writer when you're not sitting at your desk. You are still a writer. And I needed to learn that even without that word count. And that gave me my joy back. That gave me sort of just, I was then eager to write. It was almost like, hey, some, you know, get away from the desk. Okay, but I want to go and start writing. So it triggered me to want to write, one thing. And then, of course, what you said, anything to do with the future self, scripting your future, just envisioning it, like closing your eyes, imagining yourself in your favorite writing spot somewhere in the future. It might be a shed in your garden. It might be at the beach. It might be in a forest by a little stream. Just imagine yourself sitting there writing the thing you never dared to write. You know, how many people say they want to write a novel, but instead they're writing blog posts? I'm talking about myself, right?
Right.
Just like imagining yourself, not just having your book published, but imagine yourself sitting there in the process of writing, being calm, collected, and loving every second of it. Just this delightful vision. Anyone can do that. It takes 10 seconds, close your eyes. And that, it always makes me smile. And I always feel good. And I feel like, oh, maybe I can do that, you know?
Right. Yeah, and I love that you focused on that, like how you feel, because I think for a lot of us, especially when you're in that place of like, I feel nothing. I'm not even happy with any of it. I'm not looking at any of it. And then just trusting, like, it, even if you can't see that future version yet, like trusting that it will appear, but knowing how you want to feel, and then going into that place of like, it gets to feel joyful, it gets to feel peaceful, it gets to feel easy, you know, like having those things, I think that's so powerful. And, you know, it just allows you to settle back. And I don't know about you, but I'm an analytical. So I like, if I'm like, I need to figure out my future self, what's that going to look like? Okay, I got to be in a chair or what am I, like, I start going into this place. And sometimes it can be just like you said, that quick, easy, like, how do you feel about it in that future place? And just, I love that. It's so good.
When you envision your future self, it's almost, you see this, some people get really hung up on this. You see this perfect version of yourself and you are, you know, still sitting there in your normal life. And it can't, you see that gap between, right? And yeah. I sometimes find that stressful. It's almost like you're stretching a rubber band and there's a lot of tension. And so it's easy to just let go of the future self vision and say, okay, none of the future self stuff, it's pissing me off. But at the same time, if you could just think about, what if I could take a teeny tiny step today to feel a tiny bit better, just buy a new journal, buy a new pen. I mean, I'm geeking out on stationery all the time, but what if, right? So for example, I have a client who was super blocked and she told me that when she thinks of writing, she sees a huge wall in front of her with monster mouths in that wall that are screaming abuse at her, like she's worth nothing, she's broken, she cannot write. And she thinks she's supposed to climb over that wall, and like the teeth are gonna latching onto her feet as she's trying to climb that wall. And it was awful. Like I felt everything she said and I could see it in her body. I said to her, okay, but I understand. What if there was a door? Right? What if behind some brambles, what if behind some bushes, there was a door that you could you think of the idea that there might be a door, that you don't have to climb that wall, you just find that door. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know what, I'm not sure if there is a door and this wall is still there and it's scary, but maybe there is a door. Maybe.
That's
maybe
a good step. Yeah.
That's like the tiniest step you can take, just that tiny glimmer of hope. What if there was a door? Suddenly,
love that.
It shifts. You shift, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Oh, when you said that too, like before you actually said the door part, I was like, well, what if you were already on the other side of it? Like, what if you didn't have to climb it at all? What if it, what would it feel like if you're already on the other side of that wall? It's like, oh, that's so good. Yeah.
I said, well, what if there wasn't a wall? Because essentially that's what it is. We make up these, right? Mm-hmm. I said, what if there wasn't a door? What if there wasn't a wall? And she said, no, no, no. So she wasn't ready for that step yet, right? She was like, yeah. No, this wall is mine. It's awful. And I'm holding on to it. And then I needed to find something else. Okay, then let's switch to what if there's a door? So that's often, as you know, right? Talk with friends or you talk to a coach, like you need to find a way, just like a way in, just a little crack of light, like a crack where the light comes through.
Yeah.
And then you're there.
Right. It reminds me of the emotional scale too. I don't know if you've ever studied Abraham Hicks, but like when you're in those lower vibrational places, you can't just leap to like joy and bliss. You have to kind of work your way up. And you do that by like, what's the next best feeling thought? Like, is there a possibility? Do I have to believe this? Does this have to be true? You know, like just working your way up so that you start to feel a little bit better, just a little bit at a time. It doesn't have to be any giant leaps, because I think a lot of us get hung up on like, how do I get there? Like so far away. It doesn't feel like I'm ever going to get there. Yeah. I love that though. It's what a great visual to be working with for not only her. I mean, hopefully she's working on getting over it, but what a great example for my listeners too. So thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Okay. So looking ahead for like the conversation around writing and burnout and mental health, what do you envision like us as an industry or as a community or as a, like even just humanity, do you see it evolving? Have you been like, as you work with your clients, are you seeing more people coming in more willing to shift, or like, obviously they're coming to you because they witness within themselves that they're in a burnout state, but how do you see it evolving going into the future?
I've definitely started seeing a shift. Most of my clients are women who are super intelligent, highly creative, and totally bogged down. And as you probably know, and many listeners too, and I see that they are, you know, they wouldn't come to me as a writer's coach if they didn't believe somehow there might be a way out of this. Because previously, I was the same as an academic. It was all about, I need to prove myself. I need external validation. I need to publish. I need to prove that I can do it all. And yes, we need system changes, right? But more people are now trying to find another way, maybe a more holistic view of the writing life, away from just the pressure to perform, to prove that you can win prizes, be perfect, publish more and more, be productive, you know, and more realizing that creativity needs space, you know, it needs connection with others, it needs reconnection with yourself. And I feel that I see more and more people also really interested in the process. Like, I have quite a few clients who come to finish an academic article, for example, and by the end of the program, not everyone finishes it, but everyone says, I've changed my mindset, I've changed the process, I trust that in the next 2-3 weeks it's going to be submitted. And so it's shifting towards honoring the process and honoring how you feel in the process. I know it sounds a bit, you know, aspirational maybe, but this is really what that's my mission, right? I want the process to be right, of writing to be enjoyable again, and just this is where the focus should be, right?
I agree.
This is where I feel writers can thrive.
Same. I think for me, the reason I started Author Revolution is I was seeing a lot of people in the industry, you know, trying to push really, really hard, publishing a book a month or publishing as quickly as possible, rapid releasing. And I started my coursework with a program called Rapid Release Roadmap, but I didn't want them to feel, or I wanted to give them a reason to know that you can do this sustainably. You don't have to do it, you know, a book a month if that doesn't feel good to you, because no one at the time was really talking about how to be sustainable in publishing or how to feel better about your writing or how to feel better about your author career. I think it's so powerful that so many of us, obviously yourself included, are coming to the mission of helping authors see that this is like creativity is ours. Like it doesn't have to be done any certain way. It doesn't have to be looked at any certain way. You don't have to earn a certain amount just because you think you should. Like if you want to, then great. If you're feeling called to it, then great. But allow it to be fun, allow it to be open, allow it to be flowing. You know, that just really, it speaks to me, because I've seen so many people burning out, like over the years. I've been in this industry for over 12 at the moment, and I've seen like the ebbs and flows and things that have been going on in our industries and publishing in general. And it's like we have so much beautiful potential. We just need to be able to, you know, trust ourselves a little bit more, that we know the right path for us. Yeah. So cool.
That's 100% basically when it comes down to what is like, what's my ultimate goal? And I think we are basically fully in sync here. If I could wave a magic wand and solve, you know, all the writer's problems, it would really be trust yourself. Like, trust your story matters. Trust you're worthy to be seen. Trust there are people who need to hear your story, and trust that you can create the space and the time to write that. Just trust. It sounds so banal, but who has that trust? Most people don't. And it's part of everything.
I love that. Oh my goodness. Well, Nicole, obviously my audience needs to come find you. They need to figure out how to get in touch with you, if nothing else, to get the planner. Where do they go to find you after this episode?
So I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Dr. Nicole Jantz. And the website is thewrithabitplanner.com. Very simple. And yeah, you'll find me everywhere. I have a website called nicolejantz.com where there are lots of freebies to download and things to try out. Yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere, but the Right Habit Planner might be the first stop point.
Absolutely. Well, and I will make sure that all of the links are in our show notes, so they can find everything very quickly and easily as well. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for being a part of this discussion and bringing your expertise and your knowledge on, obviously, everything that's been going on, burnout and overwhelmment for writers, because it's such an important conversation. So thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a wonderful discussion. Thank you.
Well, what did you think? Wasn't that episode fantastic? Nicole is so interesting, and I loved the conversation that we had about burnout, and in specific, even hearing about her, you know, struggles and reality with going through burnout. Now, for me, I have never had burnout quite that bad, at least not with my author career. I definitely had panic attacks and things of that nature when I was actually going through a divorce, but it was never that bad because of my creativity or the things that I'm doing. I do notice, though, when I start to get into that place, like I said in this podcast episode, one of my first alarm bells is when I'm starting to get emails, because I get an awful lot of emails every single day. But when I get emails and I don't even want to respond to them, like there's a resistance level there. And I'm like, okay, I need to take a step back and rethink what it is that I'm doing right now, right? So that's definitely one of my first symptoms. But I think, you know, we're, like Nicole said, we're all different. And so sometimes it could be that you're snapping at your spouse, or you're snapping at your partner or your kids, or you're hiding from your boss, you know, whatever the case might be. Knowing that, you know, there's this place of creativity, but you can't get to it through pushing. You can't get through it or to it through efforting. And Abraham Hicks talks an awful lot about that too, about how in order to receive the things that we really want, in order to get to the point of having, we have to let go a bit and trust that it's already ours, right? The resistance is there because we are focusing on the part that isn't working, and we're not focusing on the solution side, the thing that we really enjoy or want. And that's where the mindset stuff becomes so important. Future visualizing your future self, you know, doing the meditations, doing the hypnosis, and just making more space in your day. One of the things I'm definitely taking from the Right Habit Planner, I love this book, by the way. I got it from Nicole, and it's just amazing. But is that idea of what can I let go this week? What am I going to say no to this week? I'm not fantastic at saying no to projects. In fact, most of the time, I'm like, yeah, let's do this thing. And my friend Jenny and I, she was my PA a while back. When we were, you know, incorporating new things, she was always like, no new projects. Like when I was going through burnout with my author career, no new projects. We're working and focusing on this one thing right now. And that was so crucial. I actually really needed that reminder. And it's one of the things that I remember most fondly working with Jenny, because she's transitioned now into doing more like direct store physical work. So mailing books and getting all the book boxes put together and things like that. And I'm just not there yet with what I want to do with my author career. And so we still get together, we still talk. But looking back, that's one of the funnest aspects that she brought to my career at the time. And I really appreciated that about her. But burnout is something that I think a lot of us tap dance around. And in this industry where everyone's like, you know, publish faster, get more books out. The more books you get out, the more you're going to earn. Sometimes that's not actually the case, because when we're focused on the lack, when we're focused on what's not working, what we see then is like, I'm putting out more books, but my income's staying the same. How can that be? Well, the reason that happens is because we're no longer allowing ourselves to future envision what we get to have. We're so worried and focused about it not working that it's not working. You know what I mean? So we need to release that, to allow it to be fun and to let go of the outcome, so that good new things can continue to come in. Money can continue to flow. We can continue to enjoy the process of writing. So I hope that you will check out The Right Habit Planner. It's a fantastic book. It has so many good questions and insights in it, and I think you're going to really love it. So make sure you head over to authorrevolution.org/231, and I will make sure all the show notes are laid out for you right there, including the transcript and the links over to Nicole's websites. If you're in a place of burnout, if you're in that struggle bus mode right now, I want you to know that there are people like Nicole, people like myself, who are here for you. Like, reach out and just have a conversation. And, you know, we're always here to be able to help guide in any way that we can. This planner is going to help you. Just knowing and trusting that the best thing you can do for yourself is give yourself space to allow yourself to relax, to, you know, hop in a bathtub with a glass of wine and read a book, if that's going to get you out of your current momentum of worry and, you know, frustration or burnout. Just do what you need to do in order to support and nourish yourself. Because first and foremost, as creatives, our creativity comes from a place of connectedness, a place of being able to be creative because we're not forcing the creativity. And when we force, it doesn't always have the intended consequences, right? So just take a breath, unclench your jaw, and just breathe, okay? Just breathe. You've got this. It will work out for you. It will always work out for you. The only question is, when are you going to let it in? All right? So enjoy the call, enjoy the planner, check everything out, and then go forth and start your author revolution. Okay, indie author, Carissa Andrews with Author Revolution here. We need to have a chat. I know you want to build a sustainable long-term author career, but you can't do it just by wishing for it. It would be nice, yes, but alas, you gotta do the work. By that I mean you need to reframe the way you look at your author business so that you can write and publish more frequently. With Rapid Release Roadmap, my signature online course, I'll help you learn not only how to make writing and publishing 4 books a year seem easy, but I'll help you master your prolific author mindset so that you can clear away all the negative self-talk that's holding you back. Trust me, I have been there. To learn more about Rapid Release Roadmap, head over to rapidreleaseroadmap.com. Over there, I'll give you all the insights on what you'll find inside the course. Plus, I walk you through all of the bonuses you're going to get based on the payment option you choose. And yes, there are some good ones in there, even if I say so myself. Once again, head over to rapidreleaseroadmap.com to learn more and sign up today.